A little weak. So, you know, kind of gave you a heads up last week about that, Harv. You're gonna have to start inviting some more people. Is it getting cold on this side? Or hey, it's good to be here this morning. It's been a long week for me. I think everybody's fighting colds, and I know I am. And I had a quick trip to Las Vegas this week and came back kind of tired. So I'm going to try not to be tired this morning. How's that sound? Kind of in a weird spot as I'm trying to figure out kind of where to go next. And this is the last week I'll preach this year. So next week, Kyle and Liv will be here, and Kyle's going to preach next week. And to be determined still on the 29th. I will actually be out of town on the 29th. So as I've been thinking about that, you know, how many of y'all have ever made New Year's resolutions? This may sound a little early to have a New Year's like sermon, and this really isn't a New Year's sermon, but it kind of is, so let's make it work. How's that? All right, good. Everybody with me? How many of y'all have made a New Year's resolution? How many of you has that New Year's resolution started with, I'm not going to do? Just one? I'm not going to do this next year. Anybody? Or I'm really going to try to avoid this next year. So oftentimes in our lives, we have a tendency to to make a list based on what not to do, right? How many of you kids out there heard that your whole life? Don't. Right? There's some young ones back here. Hunter heard it, right? Don't do that. How many of y'all have heard that in your life? Some of y'all, when I say those words, sometimes even a memory will come into your mind about maybe your dad saying, I said not to do that, right? Or so we have such a interesting mental workup of how we function in life. And how we function in life oftentimes is from the do nots, not the do. And we're shaped and formed from our infancy. I've heard Hunter and Jaden say, the word no, like they didn't even know that word was so popular until they had a two-year-old, right? And it's because, you know, you're sitting there going, no, right? And so from a very early age, we are programmed with this mindset. Don't, no, stop. All negative words, right? All words of correction. And so oftentimes in our life, that's kind of how we live it. We live it by, you know, I've made New Year's resolutions where I'm like, next year, I'm not going to do this. And normally that's said on December 31st. Right? No thought's gone into it. No preparation's gone into it. It's just tomorrow's a new year. I need to stop this. I need to not do that. So funny enough, we're going to start 2 weeks early, right? So we can prepare a little bit for our New Year's resolution. Because I'm going to challenge this church to do one thing. And it's not going to be a stop. It's not going to be a don't. It's going to be a get to know. This next year, I want this church. You know, it's interesting that I have never really challenged this church to do the very thing that I've challenged classes for 15 years at Camp Blue Haven to do. I start my class every year at Blue Haven. I've got generally 24 high school, upper high school kids in my class, and I start every class the same way. Listen, we're going to be studying this text, Ephesians. This year it was the I Am statements of Jesus. So this year we're going to study the I Am over the next 10 classes that I get you for 2 hours. A day for 10 days. We're going to study the I Am statements. However, this is what I really want you to do. I want you to spend some time in the Word. First question pops up. What do you want us to read? Whatever you want. Whatever you want. I just want you to spend some time in the Word. And then, at the beginning of every class, I'm going to ask a question. What you been reading? Because what I want this church to do is get to know Jesus better. Turn to Colossians. (Clears throat) Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae around the time, probably from shackles in Rome. He's probably imprisoned in Rome when he writes this letter. This is a church he never visited in person. They don't know him by face, but they know him by reputation. He writes this letter around the same time that he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus. Why is that important? It's important because some of the language is the same between the opening of Colossians and the opening of Ephesians. And you're going to see some of that language if you've read, spent time in Ephesians. But here's the why. All right, so here's my desire for this church. Spend time in the Word. Hunter mentioned it this morning, and I don't think it's an opinion. I think it's a reality. I think it's a truth. I think it's a fact. The Bible works. It's meshed all together. It's communicating the same story. It's communicating the same story of God. It's communicating the same story of mankind. It's communicating the same story of redemption, of salvation. It, from beginning to end, the story doesn't conflict itself. And so if I know that, if I know that the Scripture is going to, you know, Jadon Poindexter, a good friend of mine, when the boys were younger, and Hunter and Kyle loved Jadon Poindexter, he preached in Merkel, Texas for a while. but one of the things he challenged me with when I was younger was, hey, when you go to the Word of God, read it from a perspective. Read it from the perspective of, what does this tell me about the power of God? So I'm going to read God's Word to find out what it tells me about Him. Now that was a different perspective for me. Because growing up, I spent time in the Word reading what it tells me how I should act. Anybody else in that category? Really? I'm it? Your parents never said, hey, the Bible says this. So we get into, oftentimes what happens in our lives is we get into behavior modification. Any parents like behavior modification? Why do you spank? Why do you put them in a corner? It's to modify their behavior, right? But really and truthfully, parents, wouldn't you just rather get their heart in the right spot? Because when you do that, what happens to their behavior? It modifies. But so oftentimes, we get to the end result. You know, how many of y'all like chopping weeds? Hey, yeah, I saw one hand trying to go up and trying to get it pulled down. Man, if there was a job I hated growing up, it wasn't chopping weeds. Carolyn, thank you. It was pulling weeds. Because there's a fundamental difference between pulling a weed and chopping a weed. I know when I would work for my dad when I was young in the summer, the beginning of the summer, first job, guess what it was? Pulling weeds. And I'd say, hey, Dad, man made this amazing hoe. That, man, I mean, I can clear this spot in no time flat with this handy little tool. He's like, no, you got to get them by the weeds, they'll come back. Right? But so much of our Christian walk is chopping weeds. We're dealing with the behavior, and we're not dealing with the root. We're not addressing the root of who God is, or who we should be in Him. We're addressing all the behaviors that happen. And you know, a text that I use, well, y'all are going to get the freestyle Kevin this morning. Okay, so we're going to bounce a little. All right, this is Kevin in freestyle mode. All right, so y'all just track with me. But one of the things that frustrated me the most about when Jesus was tempted in the desert, it said he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. I'm scratching my head going, he doesn't have to deal with the stuff I deal with today. Society's changed so much. Well, it wasn't talking about how sin manifests itself. It's talking about the root of sin. And the root of sin hasn't ever changed. From the time of creation, sin has been always sin, and it's been rooted out of a very few minor things, but it manifests itself differently. And so oftentimes we're sitting here trying to control our behavior. Man, I'm the best. No, Lana would say I'm the worst at modifying my behavior. Right? Although, there's some things she's modified in me over the years. Right? I tell people all the time, it took Lana 25 years to domesticate me. And she would say, no, we're not done. So,
It's a process, right? But the reality is Jesus was tempted in every way because he's dealing with the root of sin. And so oftentimes we have sin manifest itself in our lives and we just go with the handy-dandy hoe. And we're just going to chop it off. Why are we chopping it off? Because we don't really care about the root. We care about what other people see. Ooh. Think about that for a nanosecond. Does anybody deal with dandelions in their lawn or they just mow them over? Because once they're mowed, guess what? You don't see them. What happens 2 days later? There they are. Oh, got friends coming over. Better go mow the dandelions down. And so often in life, that's why my challenge for us in 2025 is, hey, let's get out of that mode and get into a different mode. And I'm not the guy that's going to say, we got a problem here without giving you a solution. And the solution is, let's get to know Jesus better. Why? Colossians chapter 1 is why. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Here's the language that you're going to see that's very similar to Ephesians chapter 2. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul is trying to get us, he's trying to get the church in Colossae, he's trying to get us to see one thing. Jesus is the whole deal. He was before it, he was after it, he was in the middle of it. Things were made through him, things were made for him. Everything is held together because of him. Why in the world do we want to spend time getting to know something other than that right there? Because to the church in Colossae saying, hey, he's it. And if I spend all my time getting to know Jesus better, guess what happens to the rest of who I am? That's a question. What happens to who I am if I get to know Jesus better? It changes. It changes. It modifies. It modifies not because I stopped doing something, it's because I started doing something. I started getting to know my Savior, who is the totality of God, who is the totality of salvation, where peace was made and brought as a direct result of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace from what? Peace from the hostility of doing evil things. I want peace with God, and peace with God comes through reconciliation with Jesus Christ. Here's my favorite part. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him. If we're going to spend time getting to know Jesus, hey, let's walk with him. How often? Every day. Walk with him. Monty said something this morning to me over here on the side. I don't know, am I stealing it if I mention it, Monty? I'm giving you credit, but I'm also trying not to take away from you, right? He's like, hey, when you're in trouble, don't you want a friend next to you? Because if you're in trouble, doesn't it help to know you got a solid friend with you? If you're lost in the woods, isn't it kind of nice to have somebody you know?
How much different would that same trouble be with an acquaintance that you kind of don't know, that you don't necessarily trust? But so oftentimes in our life, we've treated Jesus like an acquaintance. He's just a passing by acquaintance. We don't really know him. We've just heard things about him. We've heard good things about him. But he's still just an acquaintance because I've never taken the time to genuinely invest into knowing who he is. But if I've taken time to invest into knowing who Jesus is, then all of a sudden he has become my trusted friend, my Savior, the one who I can walk through troubled waters with because I know he's got me. That's the Jesus we serve, but it's oftentimes not the Jesus we know. It's the Jesus we hope we know. But God tells us, listen, you don't have to hope in that. You can know in that. But in order to know, we must understand. In order to understand, we must spend time looking at Jesus. Therefore, verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Don't just walk in him, be rooted and built up in him. Put everything that you are and who you are into who he is. And establish in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I love that last part. Abounding in thanksgiving. It's like, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to receive Christ. You need to walk with him. You need to be rooted in him. You need to be built in him. And establish your faith in him. And as a result of that, all of those things, you're going to be abounding in thanksgiving. Does anybody know what the word abound means? Overfull. Just got too much. It's just blowing out of every seam, right? I was making coffee the other day and got distracted. So we have this little RO system that is supposed to make water better, right? It's this little neck, it's super slow. Super frustrating at times. So I took the water dispenser out of our coffee pot, and I have a process when I make coffee. I take that out, and I set it over there, turn on the RO, come back, do the coffee grinds, put the pot in, then I normally come back, and about then it's full of water, and I forgot about it. I forgot about the little water thing, right? And I'm stuck over here doing something, and all of a sudden I realize, uh-oh. Man, I got water going everywhere. This is the first time Lana's hearing about this, which means I probably did a fair job of cleaning it up, just so you know. But that's the idea of abounding. It's just overflowing. And the beauty of this is what Paul is trying to say is do these things and you will abound in thanksgiving. What will you be? Thanksgiving and gratefulness for the relationship that you have with Jesus is going to blow out of every seam. And guess who gets to see that? Everyone. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to try to come up with it. You don't have to try to fake it. You're it. Because all of these things are blowing out of you. It's so full, you can only take so much in, and then it finally starts squirting out the edges. And when it does, the people around you are going to go, woo, what's going on? And so then, again, this is freestyle, Kevin, and then all of a sudden Acts 2:42 through to 46 makes more sense. That the people that were chasing Jesus daily, listening to the apostles' teaching, that they were well-loved by everyone. I've always struggled with that. How is that possible that these people were well-liked by everyone? It's because of this verse right here. They so filled themselves up with who Jesus was that it was just blowing out the seams. And what's blowing out the seams is attractive. Isn't it? Who do you spend time around? People with a smile or a frown? I don't like hanging out with frowny people. Why? It makes me frowny. I like hanging out with people that got smiles on their face, and they're excited about life because it makes me excited. And so as we press forward to January 2025, hey, spend very little time looking back. All right? Very little time. Scripture in Ephesians is one of them. And here's kind of one. Spend very little time looking back on 24. God gives you so much, just so much energy in a day. Would you agree with that? Only so much, and it seems like it's getting less, right? What are you going to spend it on? You passed? You going to allow the energy that God gave you today to be sucked away by something that's already taken place? Or are you going to, oh, how about this? I'm going to spend some of it on what might happen a year from now. Are you really going to utilize the energy that God gave you today for something that may or may not happen in a year? Is anybody in here worried about their health? It weighs on us, doesn't it? Especially the older we get. It weighs on us. I do. I think about that. Every time we hear somebody sick, not doing well, it presses in on us, doesn't it? And so we start worrying. We start spending time thinking on that. We start utilizing the energy that God's given us today to appreciate today. And we start pressing it forward into moments that may or may not happen. My challenge for us is to live today. Live today. Use and utilize the energy that God has given you today to get to know Jesus more today. Make it more relevant in your life today so that today can be a blessed day. Today will not be a blessed day if you're spending time in the past or if you're using energy for your future. Be present today. The people around you deserve you to be present today. I'm telling myself that. It's super easy for Kevin to get caught up in 3 months from now, 4 months from now, 6 months from now, in a year from now, or 10 years from now. And all I'm doing is taking away from now. Jesus is above all, in all, through all, for all. And His blood has granted us peace with God. Let's spend time today getting to know Jesus. Why? To abound in thanksgiving. So that there is this presence about you. That because you know Jesus intimately, He's not an acquaintance, He's a friend. You would take Him into the trenches with you. He's that guy. Because of that, it's just abounding in thanksgiving. I'm not trying to modify who I am. I'm trying to fall in love with who Jesus is. I'm trying to fall in love with Him and allow His life to modify my life so that my behavior matches Him. It's not about cutting weeds. It's about getting to the root. And what I read in Colossians chapter 1 is Jesus is the root. He's the whole package. So my challenge for us moving forward into 2025, spend time in the Word. Not helplessly, not because Kevin said to do it. Spend time meditating on the Word. Put some information in your head and think on it. And ask yourself, what does this tell me about God? How does it help reveal to me more of who He is? How does it help me to see Jesus more? And allow that to just build. You will be shocked at the different place you're in a year, if you'll do that one simple thing. This morning I want to challenge us to get to know Jesus better and let it affect the totality of who you are. Quit trying to fix nuances of your life. Start falling in love with Jesus and allow Him to redeem those things in your life. Because redemption is always better than correction. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, I ask that you come as Hunter leads us in an invitation song.